Okay, we're going to have offertory prayer. If we pray. Heavenly Father, it's your wonderful promise and provision that you have given to us to always meet our needs. It is a privilege for us to return those grace blessings by giving because we know that you love a well-motivated giver. So please take these offerings that go forth today and use them for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, your anointed Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we stopped right on the button. This week we're probably not going to make it. I'm probably going to need a few extra minutes. Last week I didn't think I had enough. This week I probably got too much. So it doesn't matter. I know you guys will hang in there. It's a great honor to fill in again today for our Pastor Joe. Please continue to pray for him and Henry as they travel and have a week left to go to recover and rejuvenate and refresh, and pray for their safe journey back to us next Sunday. I know you'll be happy to have the A team back next week. The B team has enjoyed filling in, but the A team shall be back. Don't forget your umbrellas, because you can bet Pastor Griffin will make it rain next Sunday. So let's have a moment of silent prayer, confession alone to God alone if necessary, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather here today and study your word. Thank you also for our pastor, and we pray for his protection and that you will bring him back safely to us, rejuvenated and refreshed. Father, we pray that what we study here today might encourage us and motivate us to continue the advance to spiritual maturity. And we lift these prayers in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, you're probably sick of hearing about the light forever forward. Well, today we're going to try to tie it all together in one final, I'm going to call it basic class, that hopefully you won't have to listen to this from me anymore. But I'm going to ask you a question. Why is it important to be occupied with Christ? I know it's all basic, and we're going to attack it from a different angle today. There's a Latin phrase that says, repetition is the mother of all learning. Just be grateful I didn't try to say that in Latin. Okay? It would be a little funny. But repetition is the mother of all learning, and we've heard the Colonel say, repetition, 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 over and over again. So we're going to hit it hard today. We're going to make a different pass at it. It's going to come from a different angle. So I hope if there's any doubt in your mind on what we should be doing in our Christian life, it will clear it up today and get you all set up to be here with smiley faces for Joe next week. So here we go. Why is it important to be occupied with Jesus Christ? Here's the answer for you. How can you represent someone that you don't know? That's another question for you. I can tell you that we are not here because of a desire for ritual. And we're not here because of a desire for technical information. That makes us superior to other people. That's not why we're here. We're here because we love our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be intimately acquainted with Him, and that's what our true motivation is. It's our personal love for the Savior. And I've told you before, that's our motivational virtue. You can read about His earthly ministry. It is explained in detail in the Synoptic Gospels. You can study and understand what our Savior did, how He lived, and exactly who you worship. But here are some thoughts for you. Jesus Christ keeps you alive every day. You are alive today, compliments of the grace of God. Look at Colossians 1:16 and 17. Here's what it says. For by Him were all things created, things that are in heaven, things that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him you exist. We're all alive today, compliments of the grace of God. You're able to sit in these chairs here without floating up like helium balloons. Compliments of gravity, the grace of God. All categories of social, economic, and political power exist only for one reason, and that's to fulfill the ultimate purpose of Jesus Christ, and they exist only so long as they are viable to His wishes and His plans. And that's why it's important we understand who we worship. When is he going to stop holding it all together? Well, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person should we be with holy living and godliness? So that's why it's so important we understand who he is and why we are here. We have been mandated to holy living and godliness. Holy living is utilizing the two power options, the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two, and Operation Z. Operation Z starts with the communication from your pastor, Joe Griffin. That's where it starts, with communication. It's from the Word of God by a qualified pastor, and then it goes over to where the Holy Spirit captures it. Comprehends it down here is where we come in. And then you concur with it right here. And you do that through positive volition. You cannot agree with it, and that's your negative volition. You could say, well, you know, I really don't buy this. I'm really not interested. And you see all these C's, communicate, comprehend, consider, concur. Compliance comes over here, where it becomes wheel tracks or trachea in the Greek. That's important to us. And this chart that Joe helped prepare, did prepare, based on some input, we use every day with the prisoners because it's so easy for them to understand the communication that they can comprehend it. Over here in the noose, it's considered. You can accept or reject. So the Holy Spirit captures it and it takes you to where you can understand it. Then it comes down to where you comprehend it and you concur with it. So it's communicated by the pastor. It's captured by the Holy Spirit. It's comprehended by you, this is us down here, and converted into faith for spiritual energy that you can use in your life. And these are the two power options that our pastor has taught us. When the Bible talks about holy living, it's talking about utilizing your three spiritual skills also. What are those? It's not only the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two, not only Operation Z right here, but by learning the 10 problem-solving devices, which are critical to your life, culminating with occupation with Christ, which is what we're going to talk about right here, the last one. Hopefully you've committed these to memory. You have rebound, filling of the Holy Spirit, doctrinal orientation, grace orientation, personal sense of destiny, personal love for God and personal love for all mankind, sharing the happiness of God and occupation with Jesus Christ. This is the final one, and that's what we want to focus on today. Occupation with Christ is the advance to the level of the adult spiritual life, and it begins with the realization of one's personal sense of destiny. Problem-solving device number six. I mentioned that a couple times today. The status of spiritual self-esteem, cognitive self-confidence, enable the believer to make your own doctrinal application to life without being influenced by opinions, philosophies, and ideologies of the devil's world. Once you reach spiritual maturity where you get evidence testing and give maximum glorification to God, occupation with Christ is a place where the believer glorifies Christ by making maximum application of his word to life and circumstances. So let's go right back to what always begins with. Getting the Bible class. Taking in God's word every day. It's the most important thing you can do. So there's some of that repetition. And I mentioned this last week. It goes all the way back to forever forward. That's the most critical thing that you can do. When Christ decides to quit holding it all together, once he makes a decision, then that's it. And when all these things are dissolved, you're going to have an opportunity to pass and review and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's why we're here. We love Jesus Christ. We love his word. And we love what he's given to us. We're here to reach two tactical objectives. our personal sense of destiny right here, and spiritual maturity in our life. We become occupied with Christ, and then guess what? We reach Mount Pleroma, which is what we're supposed to do. That's what this is all about. It's all motivation coming from one thing, and that's your personal love for Jesus Christ, your motivational virtue. If you look in your Bibles in Philippians 3:7, let's take a look at what Paul has to say, and he describes a new value system he had. He had a change of values. The things that were gained for me, his many accomplishments, he said, I now count as loss for Jesus Christ. What things were gained, I now count as loss. The word zomaia is what it is in the Greek, and it means I now count these things as damaged or detriment to me. So it's now a detriment to me, the things that I had. I count it all loss except for Christ. He laid aside all of his natural claims to wealth and status. And he said, I only want to get fame in one thing, and that's my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not in anything else. And I've told you this before, when you walk out this door today, your only claim to fame is really and truly your relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's it. Nothing else. You are related to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Philippians 3:8, the most important thing in Paul's life was, I count all things but loss, except the excellency, the superior, higher knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. The most important thing that Paul could state in his life at that time was to know who and what Jesus Christ was, and to know exactly what Jesus Christ had done for him. So here's a principle for you. Knowing Jesus Christ, the creator and sustainer of the universe, is the greatest thing you'll ever accomplish in your life. Ever. I don't care how much money you have. You may be a famous Hollywood actor. It does not matter. There's nothing more important than that. That's why it's important to get to Bible class. If you are a Christian who hasn't reached maturity, all of these material things are nothing but a distraction to you. You've got this, you've got that, you're off doing this. You know, I've got to go here, I've got to go there. Excuse me. I have all these things going on. All of them will get in the way of Bible class. You have people that say, yeah, I got to go to, I couldn't make it to Bible class. I've heard people say that here. I can't be here on Sunday because I got a big deal at the casino tonight. I'm going to hit it big. Not going to hit it big, but they go there. I don't care if they do or not. But everybody says, if I had $1 million, boy, if I just had $1 million. You don't have the capacity for $1 million. That's why you don't have it. Or you'd have it already. You say, but I'm going to give it to the poor. You're not going to give any money to the poor. You, not only that, you won't come to Bible class either because you're no pressure until you blow it all. Have you ever looked at all the people that won the lottery and then blown it and they're poorer than they were before they started? Happens all the time. You can look it up on the internet. Paul said, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content, to be happy, it doesn't make any difference if I have a little or I have a lot. Makes no difference. What's great about the spiritual life is it doesn't matter what you have or where you come from in life. Guess what? We're all equal here. And I would contend those who are advancing spiritually and taking this seriously have a whole lot more than those that don't. And when we get to heaven and we see those rewards given out, we'll realize that. You know what gives you capacity? Romans 5:3 says it's suffering that gives you capacity, because it all gets down to one and only thing you need in your life to exist, and that's Jesus Christ. Therefore, he said, I count all things but loss except for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Then he said, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, and I do count them but scubala, dung, detriment. That's what those mean in the Greek. So that I may kardino, gain favor or fellowship with Christ. That's what he's saying, that I may appropriate Christ to myself, that I may become Christ-like. And in verse 9, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. And you know, see if I can find this. When we went to the cross, it was a trade-off deal. Christ took our sins, and he gave us his righteousness. And that allowed us then to have a relationship with God and open the great grace pipeline. We know that. It's because of his righteousness that we're able to have a relationship. That's why the Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. You will stand before God and pass the evaluation with negative righteousness, because the only way you get positive righteousness is what the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. On the cross, Christ took our sins, and he was judged in your place, and he gave you his righteousness. That's why your sins are no longer an issue. That's why the only issue in your salvation is, what think ye of Christ? So that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him. I want to know him. I want to be occupied with Christ. That's what Paul says. This is what will give you the ability to do what God has laid out for you in your life. It's not your human energy. It's not your human strength. It's the dynamic power of God the Holy Spirit in your life. It's the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, that I may know the power of his resurrection and I may know the fellowship of his sufferings, Paul wrote. There's going to come a time in your life and you're going to go through evidence testing. And when you have evidence testing, you're going to need the motivation of your personal love for Jesus Christ, or you're going to quit the advance. If you're trying to do it in the energy of your flesh, or because you're trying to make your husband or wife happy, or you're trying to look good and you're trying to show up just to let everybody know you go to church, you're going to quit. Because when you get the evidence testing and you're on your way to play Roma Ridge, you're going to quit. You're going to say, I can't do this. I can't handle this. This is not going to work out. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't quit in 33 years. Will you? That's really the question. People come and go all the time. This is not for everybody. And if you look around, and I want to tell you something. I can tell when this place is packed, or when, like, Joe's at Shreveport, I hear a different Joe. You all may not, but I can tell a difference when there's less people when I'm teaching a class in a prison. The first night there when it's packed and maybe 100, 120 people, let me tell you what, you can get on a roll. I feel differently, everything. But then when no one shows up the next night and there's only 20, because you weed out the people who are just kicking the tires or sticking their toe in the doctrinal bucket, you can tell, I think within myself, I know I'm not as on as I am when it's full. And I believe the same is true for Joe. He may correct me, but I can tell you something. If this place was full, it would be a lot more encouraging for Joe. Yes, who's here needs to hear it, but we need to be at Bible class. Face-to-face teaching is the way we need to go. There's going to come a time in your life when you're going to go through evidence testing, and when you have evidence testing, you're going to need the motivation of your personal love for Jesus Christ, or you're going to quit the advance. If you don't understand occupation with Christ, you're going to quit. That's why the writer says, don't be weary. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Get back to the motivation and the reason you're here to start with. The reason you're here is for your love of our Savior. The reason you're here is to get to occupation with Jesus Christ. It's not for any other reason. What does it mean to be occupied with Christ? What was Paul telling us? He's telling us that the most important thing in his life is Jesus Christ. Everything else that he has is not important. That he suffered the loss of everything except the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ, that he suffered loss because of this, it did not matter. Occupation with Christ is your personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is, and because of metabolized doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness, and that's what gives it to you. That's why 1 Peter 1:8 says, "And though you have not seen him, you love him." I don't think anybody in here or in Dorito Land can say, "I saw Jesus Christ. I saw God even." Well, first off, it says you can't see God and live, so I don't think you really did. And I don't think anybody in here is going to stand up and say, "Oh, no, he came to me last night. I saw this vision. I saw him. I've had 45 seconds in heaven, and now here I am back here." It didn't happen. You haven't seen him, but you love him. Listen to what Peter said. "And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him." This is the principle of loving the absent Christ right here, stated by Peter. So let's look at this verse one more time. 1 Peter 1:8. "And even though you have not seen Jesus Christ, you keep on loving him, who presently you do not see. Yet you constantly keep on rejoicing with happiness inexpressible and full of glory." So you can't love a person you don't know. So knowledge of the Lord is only possible by learning about him from the divine revelation of Scripture. I said earlier, it always goes back to that. You hear people say, "Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I went to church today. We sang about Jesus," and they raised their hand. They don't know anything about him because they don't want to know. They want to feel good, and then they go home. But then how can you love him? How do you love someone and believe in someone whom you've never met or you've never seen? You certainly can meet him through faith. That's why Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that. Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship. You can meet the risen Savior, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords by faith. Peter says you rejoice with inexpressible happiness, full of glory. The mystery doctrine of the church age is defined as thinking with the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "Don't think of yourself in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of sanity, as God has assigned to each of one of us a standard of thinking from his word." What is the standard of thinking that we are to think? "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Learn to think as he thought, as Christ thought. It will become part of your soul. Listen, your soul has mentality. It has volition. It has conscience. And underneath that, it has self-conscious. Okay? So you've got mentality and you have volition. Your soul, and these two right here are the keys to your success, your mentality and your volition. Why? Because this is your chooser, and that's where it starts. You have to choose to be here today. That's one of the first things you teach your children and your grandchildren. Which way are you going to choose? I tell this to prisoners all the time. Say, "I don't have any volition. I'm in prison." Sure you do. They tell you to come out of your cell. You have a choice. Easy way, come out. Hard way, they drag you out. But you chose whichever one. You don't have to eat in the commissary. You may make some ramen noodles in your cell. That's a choice. That's volition. You have a volition. Are you going to show up at your job, or are they going to put you in the hole? Your choice. You don't lose your volition, ever. You, especially because you're not in prison, can choose to go to work, choose to come here, choose whatever you want to do. It's your call. If you're a parent, you need to be teaching this right here to your children, because that's where it starts. Which way will you choose? Then you come to understand the Word of God through consistent teaching by qualified men that understand His Word, and it's not through emotionalism, it's not through legalism, it's not through some hoops you have to jump through, but as you come to understand the mind of Christ in your life by using your volition to come to Bible class, that's what you're doing. When you come here, you used your volition this morning to come here. And you can't love Jesus until you know how He thinks, because He's invisible. So you got to get here. This is where it starts. As Rick Hughes says, show up, shut up, fake it till you make it. You don't see Him right now, but you still love Him. You can't love Him until you know how He thinks. And that's why the perception and metabolization of the mystery doctrine of the church is how you come to know Him personally. That's why occupation with Christ is contrasted to occupation with people. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, that we'll look at in a minute, we see the principle that isolates one's focus on Christ and not on circumstances, systems, or people. The benefit is confidence in one's position in Christ, which is confirmed by the fact He died and rose again so that we might have eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 15. We have discerned that one died for all, and we are constantly motivated, suneko in the Greek, to be completely dominated by occupation with Jesus Christ. So we have discerned that one died for all, for we are constantly motivated by the love of Christ. Verse 15, and He died for all in order that they which live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again for their benefit. Not live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again for their benefit. It's not people that make you happy. Unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. Occupation with Christ subtly phases out one's dependence on people over to dependence on the Lord. As you become occupied with Christ, as you work your way through the problem-solving devices, as you grow spiritually, you start to depend less and less on people. Many people use each other as a crutch. Dependence only on the Lord is the standard for the believer's spiritual life. With doctrine in the soul, while in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we depend exclusively on the Lord to provide solutions to our problems. We don't look elsewhere. We don't say, oh, Mr. President, we need help. Oh, Fred, could you help me out? You don't go to people and say, hey, what would you do in this? You're going to get human viewpoint. Well, I'd hit him in the nose if it was me. Well, I don't know if you want to follow that human viewpoint or not. I tell that to prisoners all the time. Why are you in the hole? Well, I punched some guy in the mouth. Why'd you do that? Because Fred told me to. Ooh, I think I'd go back to Bible study and start getting some divine viewpoint. What does the Bible say about that? What about impersonal love? Oh, I didn't think about that. Generally speaking, others cannot be depended upon to resolve your personal problems. Usually the best solution is to change yourself, and that is accomplished by growing in grace and depending on grace. Listen, you can only fix yourself. You can't fix anybody else. And every time you try, it turns out to be a problem. You get sucked in. You never have the full story. You never know everything that's going on. You can only fix yourself. In the old days, you'd say, get a tape. Give them a tape. You know what? Now give them an MP3 because you can't fix their problems. We need to stay out of other people's business because right here, the best solution is to change yourself, and that is accomplished by growing in grace and depending on grace. It's not circumstances that make you happy. It is your occupation with Jesus Christ that gives you stability in life. It is your occupation with Jesus Christ that gives you motivation and momentum in your life. Those who have occupation with Christ find that it produces true motivation in life, and that's why it's important. Occupation with Christ is the believer's major problem-solving device, and that's why it's at number 10. It's the major problem-solving device. Occupation with Christ is personal love for the Lord expressed by the mature believer. It is the capacity to love an absent Savior made possible by one's maximum knowledge of Him acquired through spiritual growth from where? Bible study. It always keeps going back to that. Knowledge that Christ resides in us not only motivates the believer to grow in grace, it also provides the source of his momentum to continue the advance toward the objective of spiritual maturity. And that's why you have to refocus on the whole concept of why you're here to start with. It's not the technical mechanics of the spiritual life that make you great. It's your personal love for Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ results in the mental attitude of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 says, don't faint in your mind, don't lose courage in your soul. Occupation with Christ leads to appreciation and an understanding of who and what He is, Jesus Christ is. You know He reconciled you, right? We can go back to that top and bottom circle. He reconciled us. You want to stay over here in spirituality. There was a barrier between us and God. And guess what? Jesus Christ removed that barrier. There's a great book over there in the library if you'd like to grab it. If you've never looked at it, you ought to. In our course, the barrier is like now, it was number 10, now it's like number 15 or 16 with the new order. When you're occupied with Christ, you appreciate that He reconciled you. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, Romans 5:10. He brought us into harmony with God. He settled the difference between God and us. Right here, He gave us His righteousness, and therefore we can have a relationship with God. And the grace pipeline opened up, and the first thing He gave us, eternal life, one of those 39 irrevocable things. We're members of the royal family now. Compliments of the grace of God. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. Why did He do it? Why did Jesus Christ do that? Because He loved you. That's exactly why He did it. Is it too much to ask you to reciprocate that love? To put Him priority number one in your life? Doesn't the Bible say we love Him because He first loved us? Occupation with Christ is the expression of personal love for Him, which can only be developed by learning about Him from an intensive study of the Scriptures. John 14:15. If you love Me, keep My commandments. You know what? If you don't study, you don't know what the commandments are. There's no way you can know. How many imperative moods have we already learned in James? We've covered a couple today, even though I haven't pointed them out. He reconciled us, and secondly, He redeemed us. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He will reward you. Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his production. So he reconciled us, he redeemed us, he will reward you, and guess what? He may reject you. Not everyone who says the name Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he that does the will of my Father. And what is the will of the Father? To accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. So if you reject him and don't believe in Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to be rejected. This is the will of the one that sent me, that you believe in me whom you have sent, John 6:40. It is the will of God that you believe in Jesus Christ. You say, well, I went to church, I showed up, I was there. Well, guess what? You can still be lost, die, and go to hell. Just showing up and being in the presence of truth doesn't mean you believe in truth. A lot of people today are here, but they're not really interested in truth. Do you come for show? Maybe you don't come for anything other than to be seen, but you don't come for application. That's the hard part, application. Why mess with it if you're not going to apply it? Why even show up? You don't like that part. You don't like the application part, especially when you get to the Royal Family Honor Code. Nobody likes that. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You will be evaluated on one of two things. Is your name in the book alive? How does it get there? When you're born, it's put there. If you die without Christ, it's removed. And your name is erased from the book of life. The Bible says the second evaluation is the books, plural, of works. And that's where people will say, did I not do this? Didn't I do that? And Jesus said, look, I never knew you, because all they attended for was show. They never took the time to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there's no going back once you breathe your last here. I never knew you. He will reject you unless you believe in him alone. Faith alone and Christ alone, and that's why it's taught here over and over again. It's faith alone and Christ alone and nothing else. And it's not faith plus baptism. Paul said, I thank God he did not send me to baptize anyone except Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanas. And there's any others? I don't even know who you are. It's not baptism. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then in Romans 1:6, Paul said, the power of God unto salvation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. That is it right there. The power of the God unto salvation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doesn't say anything else. That's it. It's not baptism. It's not works. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the unbeliever listens to the gospel and hears an accurate presentation, God the Holy Spirit makes information lucid, comprehensible, and understandable. Believe in Christ results in eternal life. Rejection of him results in eternal condemnation. You reject the gospel, Jesus Christ is going to reject you. And when the gospel is presented, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in with efficacious grace and common grace. It all comes in right there. Knowledge that Christ resides in us not only motivates the believer to grow in grace, it also provides the source of his momentum to continue the advance toward the objective of spiritual maturity. 1 John 3:23 and 24. This is God's mandate, that we believe in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we unconditionally love each other just as he commanded us. Verse 24, and the one who executes his commandments keeps residing in association with them. Status quo spirituality inside the divine dynasphere. And he, Christ, resides and dwells in him by means of this. By means of what? Living the operational spiritual life. We have come to know that he, Christ, resides or indwells in us, and that's knowledge acquired through spiritual growth. By means of the Holy Spirit, the mentorship inside of the divine dynasphere, whom he, Christ, has given to us at salvation. And by the way, the indwelling of Christ is unfelt by the believer. You don't say, ooh, I got this feeling. Christ is here. Ooh, gosh. It's unfelt. It's through Bible study and analysis of passages that we just read in 1 John 3:23 and 24 that the believer who consistently functions in the grace system of perception comes to learn of his indwelling. I grew up in a Baptist church. I had no idea that I was indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But heck, I didn't even know you sinned after you were saved. I thought you just quit. No one ever said anything about it. And if you felt bad about something, you just went up and rededicated. And you'd see the same people wearing a hole in the carpet on their way up there. They just kept doing it over and over again. No one explained anything. As the indwelling of the Father provides motivation and the indwelling of Christ provides momentum, the believer advances to the level of spiritual maturity where occupation with Christ becomes your ultimate problem-solving device. You know, Jesus Christ intercedes for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, He lives to make intercession for us every day. He's at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for us right now. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Bible says in prayers that couldn't even be uttered or mentioned. You know, sometimes we don't know what to pray. Sometimes we're just overwhelmed. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Did you know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ strengthens us? Some of you are going through circumstances or situations that look insurmountable. It looks like you can't overcome them. Paul figured this out. He said, look, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Where'd that strength come from? His relationship with Jesus Christ. It is no longer I, but Christ in me, the hope and glory. I hope you're beginning to see why it's so important that we don't forget our first love, which is a love for our Savior. Why it's your top priority to be here. It's because you love Jesus Christ, and that's your tremendous motivational virtue in your life. Your personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ motivates you to use impersonal love in the life of other people, to fulfill your destiny as a child of God and to be faithful until the end. He strengthens you. He loves you. And don't ever forget that. Jesus Christ loves you, and that's why in John 15:9 he said, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. That's a love letter to you. I love you. And it goes on to say, continue in my love. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's a love letter to you. The motivation for our Lord and Savior to go to the cross was his love for you, his impersonal love for you. God so loved the world, there it is. He gave his only begotten Son. He used the faith rest drill to the max, all the way to the cross, all the way to his death. He never doubted. He always trusted. And he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. He was willing to fulfill his destiny. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross because he loved you. He could have never done it if he not loved his Father. His personal love for his Father motivated him to love you with impersonal love. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. You know, we were sinners, but yet he went to the cross and died for us. The divine mandate regarding Jesus Christ is found in 1 Peter 3:15, where Peter says, sanctify as a top priority the Lord Jesus Christ in your cardia, in your heart. Set him apart in your right lobe and in your stream of consciousness. This is an imperative mood in the Greek. Sanctify And what it simply means is doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness, and have you made Bible doctrine your number one priority? Is it number one? Is your relationship with Jesus Christ the motivation and momentum in your life that leads you to maximum glorification of God? Is there any other reason it won't sustain you? If there's any other reason it won't sustain you, it'll never happen. It is only your personal love for God through Jesus Christ that gives you the power to stick with this. Occupation with Christ includes sharing the happiness of God, and that's problem-solving device number nine. Listen, if you're occupied with Christ, you will be prepared to meet any exigency and circumstance in your life. When you get there, you got something. As long as God keeps you here, you'll have a wonderful journey. If you can get to this point, you may wonder sometimes what in the heck's going on. I know a lot of people have over the last 3 or 4 months. But when you rest comfortably occupied with Christ, continue in advance, this is easy. Because immediately you can recall some of the 7,000 promises. You can get a doctrinal rationale. You can say, wow, God controls history, causes all things to work together for good. I got this. Okay. Cast all your burdens upon him because he cares for you. Next thing you know, you're rolling. All this stuff is insignificant. You are not going to wake up one day and be occupied with Christ. It's an advance. Ephesians 3:19 says, and come to know the love of Christ, which is beyond, so that you may be filled or reach pleroma status, filled with the fullness of God. And 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ keeps on motivating us. Every day, that's your motivation. Love for Jesus Christ includes confidence, not only his commandments, but also the problem-solving devices. So as you move through these problem-solving devices, we learn about rebound. You all know about rebound. I'm still turning those headlights on and off every day, all day long. Light, dark, light, dark, light, dark. I told you I'm real good at it. Well, I'm just trying to strengthen my skills a little bit. So I just, keep trying it out. So I'm hoping you guys are keeping the light on. As you work through these, as you move through the filling of the Holy Spirit, the faith rest drill, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, and you get to a personal sense of destiny, problem-solving device number six. And that's when you finally leave your agenda behind. That's when you get on the same page with Jesus Christ. You shut your book and open his book. And that's where we move into the personal love for God and impersonal love for all mankind. And then guess what? We finally get to number nine, share in the happiness of God, and then occupation with Christ. This is the problem-solving device we've been talking about all day right here. Number 10. And I know it's a lot. You got to hang in there. We're cramming a lot in today. We're going fast. We're leaving things out. But hopefully this all makes sense. And it ties in together with the other lessons and things you've been taught before. I'm not the first one to bring this to you. It's just an encouragement on why we need to do what we do every day. If you get occupied with the details of life, you're going to get off track. Without occupation with Christ, you will only have a life of frustration and a life of instability, because you'll always have unrealistic expectations. Without occupation with Christ, you'll always be looking in the wrong mirror. You'll be looking in the mirror of arrogance instead of the mirror of the Word of God. And you will not see yourself as you really are. You will see yourself as you think you are. And sometimes God is going to use enforced humility to wake you up. And enforced humility is designed by God to wake you up and get you back on track. That's where divine discipline comes in. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't discipline you. He wants to get you back on track, back on the advance. You might have used your volition to go negative. Well, when you do, and you're going down the my way highway, guess what? You've got to get back in fellowship and get back on the right path. If not, discipline comes in. And you know what else? You're wasting time. You're wasting time. There's not a lot of time left for some of us. But no matter how young you are, you're going to wake up one day and say, where'd it go? Wow, where'd the last 20 years go? It happens quick. Sometimes frustration and instability in your church will cause you to quit coming. You'll look for another church or just stop altogether. In today's age, you may listen online, or you may just stop altogether. I don't care who you are. You need to be taught the truth, and preferably face-to-face. You don't come here at this church or any church to make personal friends. You come here to be fed by the pastor. That's why we come. And it's easy to get off track. Satan loves to get you off track with the details of life. That's why we must stay focused. You can't come here for any other reason except for your love for Jesus Christ. If you do, it's easy to say, I'm sick of them. I'm done. I'm out the door. And never come back again. From occupation with Christ, you learn to avoid the great hazards of the Christian life. Getting your eyes on yourself, getting your eyes on people, getting your eyes on other things. If you get your eyes on yourself, you're going to get into arrogance. If you get your eyes on people, you're going to get frustrated and get mad. You're going to see that people are just no damn good. And that's why Jeremiah says, cursed is the man that trusts in man. So don't get your eyes on others, and don't get your eyes on Joe. Put your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:19, it is better to have humility in your spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the arrogant. Occupation with Christ will change your mental attitude about yourself so that you can change your attitude about others. You should never have a list of enemies in the Christian walk or the Christian way of life unless they're enemies of the cross. They become like gangrene that Paul mentioned in 2 Timothy 2. But even then, personal hatred is not allowed in the plan of God for anyone, by anyone. And that's why personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the motivational virtue to have impersonal love for others. So occupation with Christ changes your attitude about yourself so that you can change your attitude about others. Psalm 118:9, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in any man. Occupation with Christ results in the God emphasis taking precedent over people emphasis, thereby eliminating human viewpoint. This is replaced by an ever-advancing perspective of reality founded on divine viewpoint. Don't depend on other people for your encouragement or your motivation. That's not occupation with Christ. That's not why you're faithful to attend Bible class. And that's why you're not faithful to make application of the Word of God in your life. The mature Christian does not seek encouragement from or dependence on people, but dependence on God. Occupation with Christ does not depend on emotionalism or any other human work, but rather on perception of the Word of God and its application to your life. Most believers place their confidence in circumstances, other people, human concepts of security. But this is the devil's world, and Lucifer takes every opportunity to sell you a bill of goods that Cosmos Diabolicus can provide true happiness. Do not buy it. Don't buy it. You're faithful because you love him, and because the more you depend on people and circumstances to make you happy, the more you're going to turn away from Bible doctrine. You just need to know that. A mandate, again the imperative mood, on concentrating on Jesus Christ. I'll read the verse to you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. In Philippians 2:5, be concentrating on Jesus, that's the occupation with Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who because of exhibited happiness, he endured the cross, that's imputation and judgment of our sins, having disregarded the shame, being re-identified with our sins, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why should we be concentrating on Jesus Christ? Galatians 4:19, until Christ be formed in you. So that's your number one priority, and we're going to finish up here. Thanks for your patience. So you are alive today for Christ. You live for Christ. You are his personal representative in the angelic conflict. You have the responsibility to take the information that you learn from this pulpit, to walk out the door, and to be a reflector of Jesus Christ in this city, right here in this state. This is your responsibility. This eliminates all human viewpoint, eliminates any other motivation in your life, except the one and only motivation, your love of Christ. Do you want to be occupied with Christ? Then make Bible doctrine the number one priority in your life. Be consistent. Perceive and apply the Word of God consistently. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Organize your thinking. Learn the mystery doctrines of the church, and you'll understand exactly what God's plan and program is for your life. And then occupation with Christ becomes the ultimate problem-solving device and is mandated in Hebrews 12:2. Be concentrating on Jesus, occupation with Christ, the founder and perfecter of our truth, our faith. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify, set apart as superior, the Lord Christ in your streams of consciousness. And remember, being occupied with Christ is having fellowship with him and the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:1, therefore, if is any encouragement in Christ, and there is, and if there is any comfort from love, that's personal integrity, and there is, if there is any fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and there is, if there is any emotional responses or resultant mercies, and there is. Verse 2, be filled with my happiness, that you might be thinking the same things, divine viewpoint, have the same virtue, love, united in soul rapport, concentrated on one objective. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And then Philippians 2:5, having this thinking in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. And remember, occupation with Christ is the sole strategy for true happiness, regardless of the environment around us. But the spiritual advance to the rarefied level of the spiritual life is a long road to hoe. It's a day after day, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, forever forward. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. I know it was basic for most here listening, but hopefully something rung a bell that might cause us to buckle down and keep up our advance to spiritual maturity and to never ever quit. May we all reach Pleroma Ridge and become the one mature believer you can use. Father, before we close, please continue to refresh our pastor and bring him back to us safely. And we lift all these prayers in the name of your anointed Son, our Savior, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you all. I hope it made sense. Sorry I went through so quick. But thank you again for your patience and your kindness. Dismissed. Thanks.